The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the 750. Welcome, 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 welcome back. You're listening, obviously, on the Blog and the Boys podcast feed, operating in partnership with SB Nation and Vox Media. This is the 750. I'm the O, RJ Ochoa. He is the 75 two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, I'm wearing a t-shirt this Monday. No victory polo.
Yeah, I noticed that right away. Yeah, it was, I told this before we started the podcast, is that I didn't even play, and I feel like physically I was affected by what went on last night. I know Deshaun Watson is affected and the whole team, but I mean, what a, we talked about the whole setting it up as a Lone Star battle. Last night, it was a battle, black and blue, and the way it ended, I mean, we obviously have a lot to talk about.
For sure. You know, the Cowboys falling to 2-3, losing 16-19, ugly score. I mean, it's a gross score. For a football game on the road in Houston. They're winless on the road so far this season, 0-3 when away from AT&T Stadium, which is kind of funny. This has been a team of road warriors in seasons past. Before we get into the game, you know, how was your weekend? Because this was an awesome weekend sports-wise. I mean, we got, you know, obviously things didn't go your way in the Red River Shootout, unfortunately, but it was a great game at the very least. The Houston Astros won, so obviously a lot of Texas people are happy. We got to see the Yankees win on Saturday night. That was a lot of fun. The fight was incredible and gave us a memory for a lifetime. And then just an awesome day of NFL action. Again, some things that I think we both wish we could change. But how was the weekend? Did you enjoy it all?
You know, weekend was great. You know, my son played Friday night, and they just they killed their opponent. They scored 56 points. And which was great. And he's a senior. So we kind of start our football weekend record off that way.
Right on.
Obviously, the Red River Showdown over the weekend. It was a house divided. My son went to UT, so he was in town with some of his boys. And, you know, do we really lose in that one? But, you know, by the way, a surprise that they actually fired Bob Stoops' brother, Mike Stoops.
Right.
That's another story. And then, you know, the fight, I didn't have a chance to, I thought about ordering a fight, mm-hmm. but, it was a long weekend. I'm older, yeah. So I had to get my rest, and
I don't blame you.
I was thinking, RJ, is that I'll order the fight, but you know, what ended up going off, what, about 12:30?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So and all the mayhem and all everything else. I mean, I got to see it the next day on social media. That was crazy. Now, I mean, that was you don't expect that type of outburst and everything. That was ridiculous. And then yesterday. So I would say I'm pretty exhausted. You know, my voice is I'm feeling effects of some allergies, but I'm fighting through it. But it was a tremendous weekend.
It really was. It was again, I think goes without saying some results we'd like to change, but. You know, weekends like that, we talked about this all week long, and it was kind of just, you know, the buzz of sports culture. You don't get weekends like that too often.
I mean, no, you don't.
Where everything is intersecting and going on. And thankfully, I mean, again, I know that the wins and losses weren't where we wanted, but they were all great games, which is if you got to lose, at least you lose in an exciting fashion. Although I'm hesitant to call the way the Cowboys lost exciting. Only one touchdown. one. I mean, you know, we went into this game and the Houston Texans were, I mean, the Giants, the New York Giants and Eli Manning were able to do more impressive things on offense against this team. I think we'll start there with the Cowboys offense and another flat-ish performance by them. This is more than a problem at this point. This is, I think terrifying is an exaggerated word, but this is very concerning what we're seeing from the Dallas Cowboys on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, it's culturized in that building, in that system now, and I think we saw some of the lack of confidence decisions during the course of that game. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of sense that, you know, Zeke was tired. He just didn't seem like the guy. We talk about, you know, you need to go to your go-to player and give him touches and everything, but he looked exhausted. Again, at times there's just enough to like kind of tease us that they may, you know, change things up and get creative at a couple of different plays. But right now it is sad to watch that offense right now, because every week you turn the channel, you go in the red zone and you watch all these teams go up and down. And I know this receiving core is probably one of the worst receiving cores in the National Football League, but it's not the dead last. And we keep trying to think that maybe things are going to change. And I think I've gotten the point every week. It's like, let's wait and see.
Right.
But we're going to be waiting and see for a long time. And it's gotten to be so frustrating for the fans. And just the way the games are played, the way that they keep waiting to make things happen. And when they need to make things happen. Now, that's to me, that's the defining thing within a team. Mm-hmm. Whenever you can push that playmaker button and be able to create plays. I mean, we saw DeAndre Hopkins last night. I mean, that was ridiculous. But the offense for this team right now is really, really pathetic.
You know, I don't disagree at all with what you're saying. I especially agree with the point of DeAndre Hopkins. I think that's a really, for lack of a better word, that's a badass thing to have on your team, to know we have this gear, we have this smash glass in case of emergency option to go to, and we're going to pull it off. We saw the Texans do that. The Cowboys don't have that on offense, and I think the funniest part, the most ironic part, is the buzzword of the offseason was Dak friendly. We're going to make things Dak friendly, Tony. We're going to make the offense friendly. We're going to make the play calls friendly. We're going to make the wide receiver group friendly. We're going to release Dez Bryant. We're not going to bring Bryce Butler back. We're going to bring Bryce Butler back, but we're not going to use him. I mean, just think about it. This is literally the friendliest thing that the Cowboys came up with when it comes to Dak Prescott. Imagine if they were trying to be unfriendly, how bad it would be. I mean, you know, they sat down, they said, okay, this is the best possible thing we can surround Dak Prescott with. And to your point, it is, outside of Zeke Elliott, there's not a whole lot to be proud of on this offense. And right now I'd lump that offensive line in there.
Well, and they got outplayed last night. I mean, without a doubt, we knew the challenges that they were going to have with J.J. Watt and Clowney last night. We knew that those were going to possess a lot of difficulties in protecting Dak Prescott. I mean, there was times that it was like Houdini and got out. I mean, the 44-yard completion to Tavon Austin with J.J. Watt. I mean, he was getting hit from everywhere. So we sensed that. And as Dak-friendly offense, I still don't know what that means.
Right.
The thing with me is so frustrating is that you cannot expect to have a perfect world when it comes to offense. And it seems to me that this offense and the coordinator and the head coach thinks every situation would be perfect because they game plan that way. And that's not reality in the National Football League.
True.
So I feel like you cannot be imperfect during the course of the game.
Yeah.
And it's just all this chaos when it happens. I mean, Deshaun Watson last night, I mean, the dude was, I mean, he was a warrior. I mean, they didn't score. The defense did a hell of a job.
Yep.
But in between that, he threw the ball, 45 completions, 44, 375 yards, had that one interception, one touchdown. I mean, the dude was like in between the 20s and 20s. He's throwing the ball. Granted, he had DeAndre Hopkins, but I mean, he was putting the ball where he needed to put it. And you know what? Their defense was giving him a lot of duress. He was getting hit from every direction, and yet he was able to find someone. And they were really very efficient throws.
It's I don't know that it was a debate, but it's very obvious that Deshaun Watson is a superior quarterback to Dak Prescott. And it feels like we're kind of checking things off. You know, entering last season, there was still this Dak-Carson Wentz debate. Well, that kind of, you know, came to a close. We clearly know, as of now, at the very least, that Carson Wentz is better. He's got a Super Bowl ring, I mean, obviously. There was talk, oh, Deshaun Watson, is he better? He only played 6 games, etc. Last night, he outplayed Dak Prescott. I do think that Dak certainly had no favors going his direction, but you're right. I mean, Deshaun Watson made things happen when he had to against the better defense of the two teams. I thought Deshaun played great. I thought the interception at the end was purely a result of DeMarcus Lawrence and Jalen Smith finally getting home, and that was great to see. But Dak Prescott, as great as Deshaun Watson looked, I thought Dak certainly had some great moments. You mentioned getting out of J.J. Watt's grasps. Certainly had a lot of fight in him. But Dak Prescott, yeah, I thought maybe we'd get into this later, but I'll stop here and now. At the very end, inside the 2-minute warning on third down, Dak Prescott goes out of bounds. And that didn't end up costing the Cowboys because the game went to overtime. But that is, I mean, that is egregious. I mean, he went out of bounds and conserved the Texans their lone timeout as they were getting ready to put together a drive to go try to win the game. That is, I mean, that's people that play Madden know not to do that. I was really stunned at that.
I think there's a lot of decisions that go during the course of the game, you know, with Dak. And I know you and I were debating on some of his, you know, his accuracy, the Tavon Austin. I thought that, you know, if Hedy put it, extended out in front of him, and that would have been a huge, huge game.
Sure.
And he just, you know, he just doesn't, whenever he needs to put the ball in a right spot, it doesn't flow. And I think when you're not pressing, that was a one-on-one matchup with Tavon. And he dropped it, you know, it hit his hands.
To be clear, just you're talking about the interception that went off Tavon.
Right, one of the two interceptions. Mm-hmm. And so I put on both of them, but again, there's, you know, the offensive line did not play very well. And again, as I just, you know, I mentioned earlier, as Zeke was just exhausted, but you want to be able to have the quarterback put your team on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Dak, we just haven't seen that type of characteristic. And you cannot – you have to be able to protect the ball. Like, as you just mentioned, you got to know where you're at, you know, the situation where you're at. And he just hasn't really gotten to a point where you think, oh, man, he's making those right decisions.
I mean,
we got to criticize where,
sure,
you know, we need to – you know, where that needs to be. And there's a lot of that to go around. But, you know, Dak, he's going to get the bulk of it.
I completely agree. I mean, it's the nature of being the quarterback, certainly being the quarterback of this particular team. I think the Tavon Austin play, you know, it's been debated. We talked about it. You know, you and I did. We were texting about it. We wrote about it at blogonthebuzz.com. It's, if not for the decision in overtime that Jason Garrett made, which we'll get to, that would be the talking point from this game. But it was obviously trumped by the punt. But I think that still, not to debate who was at fault, but I think the Tavon Austin interception, the one off his hands, is sort of a microcosm for a point you just made. I think it's a microcosm in that if everything goes perfect for the Cowboys, they're a good team. If everything goes right, if the protection's right, if Dak gets a clean pocket, if Tavon Austin's open, if he puts it in the perfect spot, then yeah, oh, cool. Obviously, the plan's going to work. But as you said, the reality of life in the NFL is that things are not going to be perfect. And that's been something we have seen the Cowboys fail at season in and season out. They can't adapt. They can't change. They have a very specific plan. And the moment somebody changes that by one inch, the whole tower comes tumbling down.
Yeah, this seems to be the trend. And we seem like we're trying to, again, where it's when you scratch your head, you're like, well, why aren't they being able to, you know, create more offense? And it's just, there's two or three plays. I always said this, and I've said this before when I was a player, and now what I do now as far as, you know, analyzing and looking at different games and doing different shows, is that you have to be able to, there's two or three, four plays in the game that's going to determine whether you have a chance to win or lose. And the Cowboys, and those plus plays, are not able to convert on that. And I don't care. I mean, you have to be able to, you know, the heart rate's got to slow down. You have to be calm and collective, and you got to connect on those plays. And, you know, for me, that's the biggest indicator. I look at a quarterback. I mean, I'm going to criticize a quarterback because he deserves it. I mean, he is the guy that leads a team that is the difference maker. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have to have guys, receivers, and you know that's another thing. But those plays like the interception, or you know, not finding a guy, or underthrowing someone, or you know, not knowing all the situation, that's what criticized. You know, it's when you got to be critical, and you look at your quarterback, and to be able to make those plays, it's going to determine whether you extend a drive, whether you score points, or ultimately win or lose.
This is, Dak deserves the brunt of the blame. I think I agree with you. I mean, he's the quarterback. That's life in the NFL. How much of the
18 of 29, 208 yards, a touchdown and two interceptions. Is that the monies that we're paying for? Is that our money's worth every week that Dak Prescott, is that the player he's become and what we can expect from him? Because if that is that a good enough? Will this team win with those? And, you know, we can blame it on, you know, no receivers, anything in offense. Mm-hmm. But as I said, there's two or three plays in the game, RJ, that he has to be accurate. He has to be on point, and he's got to make throws like Deshaun Watson did last night.
I agree with you. I mean, Dak Prescott obviously very efficiently paid, I guess is the nicest way to say it. He's obviously not paid anywhere near as much as other quarterbacks in the NFL on his fourth-round rookie salary. I think, it's impossible to get a better bargain than Dak Prescott at the quarterback position in today's NFL, just, you know, in 2018.
So, well, let me phrase that differently. Right. Your franchise future quarterback that you're going to – next is next contract, he's going to be paid $20 million.
Right, and that's the question, because I agree with you. He's not playing like a $20 million quarterback. And, you know, if anything right now, I mean, look, the Cowboys are still 2-3. I mean, the world of possibilities is still open from a technical and literal sense. But the – if you accomplish anything throughout the final 11 games of this season, you have to find an answer about Dak Prescott. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, which is a saying that I don't understand, if I'm being honest. I've never understood that, but that's a whole different point. You have to determine whether or not Dak is the guy, because it's going to be time to pay him, and the going rate for quarterbacks is very expensive, and Dak has shown at times to be that guy, but more often than not, in terms of recent history, he has not. And that's, I mean, that if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance, and that's a rough spot to be in, especially in today's NFL.
Well, they're 2-3 right now. So if you look at those five games, out of those five games, which games would you say that he should have been anointed that tag as being the franchise guy?
Well,
in other words, is he playing up to the capability where whenever, you know, Tony Romo 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when he decided to retire, that you thought, well, this is the guy of the future. Now, should we be concerned about the state of the quarterback for the Cowboys?
Absolutely. You know, the last time I think that I felt safe, you know, that I felt wrapped up in a warm blanket watching Dak Prescott play quarterback was November 5th of 2017 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Right before the end of the first half, Tyreek Hill goes off on the Hail Mary, and the beginning of the second half sees the Chiefs go down and score another touchdown. And that was a pretty down moment for the Cowboys, and Dak Prescott commanded the offense, went down the field, and answered with a go-ahead touchdown. And you really felt in that moment like Dak Prescott single-handedly willed the Cowboys to that. After that, Zeke was immediately suspended, and ever since then, this has been a house of cards that, you know, when one goes away, the whole thing comes tumbling down, as I said earlier. So I have not seen that. Through five games this season, Dak was really bad in Carolina. Dak was mediocre against the Giants. Dak was certainly not great in Seattle. And I thought Dak, you know, I wrote something at the time that you and I are talking right now. It's not out yet, but it will be at blogontheboys.com. Dak had two big errors against the Lions. The first was the sack he took on third and long, and he knocked the Cowboys out of field goal range. That's, a very basic mistake. And then later in the game, he ran out of bounds right near the marker. I mean, he lost a yard, and I know it's only a yard, and I'm not trying to super criticize the guy, but it's the principle. It's the principle of the matter that you've got to know there's the line of scrimmage. I can't run out of bounds behind it when I can just throw the ball away. This is a very easily avoidable thing. And that's the problem for me with Dak Prescott right now, is the mistakes he's making, like going out of bounds against the Texans. These things are easily avoidable. These things are mistakes that, you know, you mentioned your son plays high school football that high school quarterbacks don't make. I mean, these are concerning mistakes that we're seeing from Dak.
The margin of error and just the lack of being able to score points, this really magnifies different mistakes or different decisions in the game. Now, you know, we put a lot of blame on Dak, but let's flip the page and let's talk about the offensive line, because again, for the last five games, I mean, I guess you could say against the Lions, you know, if you look at, you know, Zeke's production, I mean, 240 all-purpose yards, but other than that, this offensive line is really underperformed. And I know Travis Frederick's gone, but, you know, it's one player. But when you look at that, when you look at last night, I mean, hey, look, you know, it was a tremendous matchup for, I mean, they had matchups galore, by the way. I mean, when you look at, you know, Zach Martin, you look at J.J. Watt, you know, on the ends, you know, the matchup Tyron Smith versus Klein. I mean, there was matchups galore, but you have to win the point of attack. When it's third and one, okay, and we'll get to the fourth and one decision. When it's third and one, you know what? You need to get a yard.
Totally.
And that's not on – I mean, you know, you hand off the ball. So while we want to say how great this offensive line was and I guess can be, because I think that's the point right now, they are not playing up to that capability that, you know, when you look at all the money and all the draft picks that were spent on this offensive line – they're not winning at the point of attack. I mean, there's times, don't get me wrong, but it's not consistent enough. And again, I know one of your best, your heart and soul on that offensive line is out, but there's a lot of teams during the National Football League that lose guys week in and week out.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, you know, the whole idea, the Cowboys' bread and butter, I mean, so to speak, is you know, beef up front, run the ball, Zeke, et cetera. And they're doing this. They're focused on that in an era of the NFL where everybody's passing. You know, they've been talking about every national broadcast we see that the NFL is scoring more points than ever through 5 weeks. They're breaking records as a league. And yet the Cowboys are at franchise lows. You know, I mean, they're so far diametrically opposite from where the rest of the NFL is. And for a little while, it looked like they were ahead of the curve. We saw the Tennessee Titans build a strong run game. We saw the then St. Louis Rams try to build a little bit of a run game. But then the Rams moved to L.A. They surrounded Todd Gurley with talent. They brought in a new, innovative offensive coach. And all of a sudden, things are different. I think you need a premier running back in the NFL to have success, like a lot of teams do. But you can't be all in on it. And that's what the Cowboys are. And that's kind of what we've said so far. They have this elite run game. And when that's working, when they're playing from ahead, when they're running down Hill, etc., then the defense can play with the lead and it'll all work. But it doesn't work out that way. Things don't go your way throughout an entire football game.
No, it doesn't. And it just goes back to things, the sudden change, and things, you know, they change during a football game, and you got to be able to adjust accordingly every week from that. I mean, it started season, you know, the first game of the season. Everyone is going to stop, try to load up and stop number 21. Because guess what? Right now, there's no other threats. I mean, it just makes it a defense's job too easy. And until, you know, they adjust accordingly and they, again, that's my biggest fear right now, because what they have on the offense right now can't be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
One, they don't have the personnel.
Right.
RJ, you tell me one guy that you can think, okay, all of a sudden, we've seen it for 5 weeks now against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is they're coming in here with Jalen Ramsey and company. I mean, think about that. Are they going to be able to fix this problem? All of a sudden, and back to your point, it's all about, okay, if you can run the football like we have, then our offense is going to work.
Yeah.
You know what? You got to be able to change it up. Maybe you might have to come out and throw the ball more just to, you know, keep them honest. And it did, you know, a couple of times in the game, you know, last night, you know, they sucked them in. They slowed down their pass rushers, play action, made them bite on that to slow them down. And you saw the Cowboys had some success.
I know this isn't the case, but sometimes it literally feels like like the Cowboys kind of huddle up and they say, okay, guys, what worked? And then they say, okay, well, this worked. We picked up 16 yards here. We picked up 22 yards here. This play was awesome. And then somebody says, okay, we're never going to do that again. You know, like it literally, yeah. it feels like that sometimes.
Like, you know what? Here's the thing, you know, against in a defense, you know, there's a play that may work. But you know what? They may do the same play, but different formations, moving around. But essentially, it's the same thing. The Cowboys, you know, they need to really kind of curtail, you know, something where, you know, there's a lot of things happening in front of the defense. But so that way, they just can't lock in on one particular player.
The Cowboys, to me right now, are like a Dr. Pepper. You know, I don't like Dr. Pepper that much, if I'm being honest. All right.
And I love Dr. Pepper.
I know. I'm sorry. I know it's a weird opinion, but I don't love Dr. Pepper. You know, my soda of choice is Diet Coke. If I'm eating a burger, I can have a Diet Coke. If I'm sitting on the couch, I can have a Diet Coke. If I'm getting some work done, I can have a Diet Coke. It's versatile. It can do anything. It can respond to any situation. A Dr. Pepper, I have to be in the exact mood for. I have to be really feeling, you know, I want some kind of syrupy, you know, kind of sweet, kind of like a snack in a can. And that's when I go crack open a Dr. Pepper. And that's how the Cowboys are. Their offense works in a very, very fine window. If the parameters are just how they want it, it can totally work. But it's not versatile. It can't respond to this, that, or whatever. If you put them in a situation where they're uncomfortable, they will fold. If they are not playing their game, they're done. We've seen that week in and week out this season.
You know, I like gelato. Are you a fan of gelato?
Of course. I mean,
okay. So it's like going in and you know, looking at, you know, ordering gelato and they got like 20 different flavors.
Right.
Cowboys right now, they don't have too many flavors right now. Mm-mm. You know, it's either the generic, it's either chocolate or vanilla. And until they get different flavors and until their book, you know, their playbook or just something, because that to me, that's going to be the storyline this year right now. And it's only the sixth week of the season. And for right now, it's almost like, is this season over? I mean, are they going to be able to win? Are they going to be able to hit 500? Because right now, the way it looks with some of the teams, they play Jacksonville and they go to Washington. Oh, by the way, Washington's not bad. I mean, if they cannot figure that side of the ball out, I mean, that's going to be a long, long, you know, certainly a season, but that second half of the season, we're talking 7-9 possibly.
You know, we are 2 weeks away from the bye, as you mentioned. Obviously, games at home against the Jaguars and then on the road against the Redskins coming up. I think we're flirting with that line. You know, that bye could be a week that a change is made. It kind of, you know, things are kind of, you can feel the storm brewing. You know what I mean? The clouds are a little darker. The wind's picking up. Before I get to what Jerry said after the game, I do want to ask how much of the problems that the Cowboys are experiencing, you could put a percent on it. What percent are self-induced? Because I don't think you can say that. I don't know that they're just frankly getting beat. It's a different thing to lose in the NFL if you just get beat, if the other team is just better than you. That's what happens when you play like the Rams or the Patriots or whoever. But the Cowboys, I feel like, are completely and totally where they are because of decisions that they are making.
Well, let's start on the defense. I guess we can all agree that this defense, after five games, has played well enough to give them an opportunity to win, be in every game. We can all raise our hand and say, yes.
Right.
I mean, there's been a couple of times, but I mean, when you look at the points per game and how they played, I mean, the game last night, I mean, Jalen Smith, I mean, and even Antoine Woods. I mean, you look at some of the guys, the playmakers, you know, Tyron Crawford, you know, all these guys were balling out there last night. Cowboys got off this night. RJ got their first interception last night.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Xavier Woods gets a pick. So I think if you look on the defensive side of the ball, I think we're all going to raise our hand and say, yeah, I'll give them a nod. Chris Richard on that side of the ball, which to me is, you know, could be the next heir apparent to Jason Garrett. I mean,
sure.
I think they're good on that side.
And he, it should be noted, it was Chris Richard who wanted to move Byron Jones to corner. That's been one of the biggest moves for the defense this season. And that was literally, he showed up, was like, guys, look at this dude. He's a corner.
Yeah, there's a big emphasis on, you know, being able to change and looking and talent and everything. And, you know, we'll give him that. Offensively, self-induced or more just lack of talent, or lack of quarterback play. because I guess, again, I'm going to be a little critical of what Dak needs to do, because this offense cannot afford to not be able to be efficient. Those plays, whenever the guy's open, you know what? The way your offense is now, Dak, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. You have got to be able to make that throw, because we're not going to get that play back.
Totally.
If you looked at how many points we're scoring per game, I mean, you just don't have that luxury.
Right.
You don't have these explosive receivers. You don't have a DeAndre Hopkins. You don't have these kind of players on your team. So it's on you. So a little self-induced. I think more and more importantly, I don't think the offensive line is playing up to par.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we blame that on Travis Frederick. I don't know. But just a lack of being able to have playmakers on the receiving core. Now, who's that on? Is that on Jerry Jones? They didn't spend any money on the receiving core.
And that's
their
fault.
They get rid of Des Bryant. Jason, I mean, he Father Time caught up with him.
Right.
But they have no ability to replace those type of guys, or at least get one go-to guy where they can really kind of take the pressure off Zeke and other places on the football field.
I do think I think there's maybe a marriage of personnel and self-inducedness when it comes to their offensive personnel, because they built this team. They built that offensive side of the ball. They chose to release Des Bryant. They chose to not go get whoever. They were very famously, I know this is a defensive player, very famously on vacation when Tyrann Mathieu became a free agent and didn't go after him. He was on the winning side of the teams last night in Houston. So, I mean, it was either incredibly arrogant or incredibly ignorant to think that they could march forward with Allen Hurns and Deontay Thompson and Tavon Austin and that was going to be enough. So I think it is a marriage of lack of talent and of whatever you want to call being self-induced, because they made this bed and now they have to lie in it.
That's something that that's something that they need to. And I mean, I hate to play, hindsight's 20/20, but in hindsight, you look at the receivers they had available. And I think Van Der Esch, Sean Lee, and again, I said this last week during our show, no disrespect to Sean Lee, but every week this kid plays, he's getting better and better. Seems the more experience he gets. And I think really the writing's on the wall with Sean because of his inability to stay on the field, and he's just been injured. And I don't see him having a long career, and that's just part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But now more and more I look at this whole deal, and, maybe Michael Gallup, maybe he'll be, this guy that pans out. But I like to see a big target, 6'3", or someone that can run.
Mm-hmm.
And – Tavon Austin, he gives him a tremendous opportunity. I mean, I thought in the special teams, he was big there last night. And then certainly, last night with the, making a big catch, that 44, that Houdini act that Dak had from J.J. Watt. But there's really, when you look at that, in hindsight, should they have went out and got one of these top receivers? I know that you want to try to address what you think and help you right now. But right now, what the decisions they made, it hasn't come to any fruition.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's all fair. It's fair that Leighton Vander Esch is a fine player. It looks like he's going to be a great linebacker. Had another good game. There's certainly logic. You can certainly rationalize that pick in your mind. Even in hindsight, you can say, look, I mean, Sean Lee, they needed this, etc. But it is hard to stomach that Calvin Ridley's played so well for the Atlanta Falcons. DJ Moore hasn't really caught on yet this season, but the point remains, to your point, I mean, you need stars. You can't use Sean Lee's injury as an excuse for this or that or whatever, because that's another self-induced problem. You have built so much of your defense to rely on Sean Lee, so now you're just putting duct tape everywhere. You know what I mean?
And the Cowboys, to me, and you followed them for some time, it seems to me that they fall in love with one guy. They
totally
fall in love with the leading rusher in the National Football League, Zeke Elliott. And it's like, oh, gosh, this is our savior. This is the guy that's going to lead us. Well, when I played back in the 90s, we had the all-time leading rusher. We had a Hall of Fame quarterback. And the most important thing, we had a great tight end, and we had a Hall of Fame receiver. We had three of those guys, and you could fall in love with all three of them. Right now, The Cowboys only have one, and that's the thing that they get enamored by this. Like, you know, that's the prettiest girl in the room. Mm-hmm. Let's all go hit on her. Let's all try to get a date. Let's all tend to her or something. You know what I'm saying?
It's you know, I think that's well said. I think that's fair. Zeke's certainly an incredible player, but it does make you wonder the way other NFL teams are able to find running backs in the later rounds. What would this team look like if they drafted Jalen Ramsey in 2016 or whatever? I mean, you could play the what if game all day long. So let's, you know,
but you know what? They have one of the best corners, and that was a tremendous matchup, DeAndre Hopkins and Byron Jones. I mean, Byron Jones, I mean, there was times where he was all over him. Like, how the hell did DeAndre, how did he catch that ball?
Right.
I mean, he was mugging him. And still, you know, DeAndre Hopkins found a way to catch the football. I mean, that was this unbelievable play last night.
You know what I think it was? Was he was playing in Houston. A lot of people don't know this, but Byron, who went to UConn, is boys with George Springer, the Astros center fielder, the World Series MVP, because they went to UConn together. So I know the Astros are in Cleveland for Game 3 of the ALDS, but I gotta imagine it probably helped him, you know, being in his boys' city. You know what I mean? Maybe George, you know, hooked him up with some food or something. I don't know. But
well, something inspired him, that's for sure.
Sure, and Byron's been great. But again, I mean, and I don't want to spend too much time, you know, just killing the coaching staff for everything. But Byron has been an incredible corner, and they tried to play him at safety. I mean, you know, you look at it, and it almost frustrates you to the point of, man, they were trying to jam this square peg into a round hole, and Chris Richard showed up and said, hey, guys.
That's a great point.
We have a square hole over there. Let's, you know, every time Byron Jones plays incredibly, which has been a lot this season, it's a further indictment against the coaching staff that tried to force him to be a safety.
And that's a great point. You think about him still, you know, being safe, you know, playing in center field and not, you know, locking down on your best wide receivers in the National Football League. You just kind of wonder what were they thinking? What would they see that he'd be a better safety than, you know, one of these corners, you know, one of the best corners in the National Football League? You know, that's a head scratcher there, because the guy has been dynamic. And again, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, a lot of people. He was targeted 13 times last night and had 9 receptions. That's not a bad night.
Right.
For 150-something yards, I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. And Dak doesn't have a receiver like that.
No.
Because those throws that he made, I mean, they were unbelievable. They were unconscious. You know, he went up and got him, and he said, look, I'm going to wheel my way. And that's the difference between the Cowboys and the Houston. They have a guy like that.
Well, that's you think about it, Dak's thrown 4 interceptions this season. All 4 have been tipped by his wide receivers. It's just kind of one of those things. I mean, it's just kind of one of those, you know, like Shane Falco said in The Replacements, it's like quicksand. You know, it's the harder you try to fight yourself or fight and get out of this, it feels like you're sinking more and more and more. We've talked a lot already, and we haven't gotten to it. The decision to punt in overtime. I mean, That could be the straw that broke the camel's back for Jason Garrett's career as the Dallas Cowboys head coach. That is pretty unforgivable in my mind, to punt on 4th and 1 when you have all these resources. You're this run heavy team, you know. And if it's 4th and 4, or if it was even if it was 4th and 1 at your own 38-yard line, I kind of get that. You know, it's a little dicier, but you're on their 42-yard line. To not go for that is inexcusable.
I mean, I understand his, you know, reasoning, but I mean, Jason, you've been watching did you watch all 4 quarters? I mean, Houston tucked the ball down. Although they didn't score, they tucked the ball down in the red zone. And guess what? All they had to do was get down, what, to the 40, 35-yard line and try to kick a game-winning field goal. And I understand, you know, Frank Wright made that decision last week in the Colts game.
Right.
He went forward and didn't get it. People, like, crucified him. But he was basically saying, look, I don't have any confidence in my offense. They stuffed us on 3rd and 1, and I'm not gonna trust them to be able to tell me that they can get a yard. That was his admission right there. I don't know. For me, I would have had to gone for it.
Right.
Because of what I saw the whole game. You know, a little Doug Peterson. I mean, we all understand you got to try to win the football game. And if you're so confident in your defense, what you're giving up, you know, if you, you know, Chris Jones made a good kick. Would he pin him down? What, in like the 10-yard line?
Yeah.
So you're only looking like a differential in 10 yards, okay? I would have taken a chance. I would have said, look, we're going to get a yard. Zeke, you know, go over there and get some oxygen. Oxygen up. And let's run. I'm going to run you right behind Zach Martin. Or even try to quarterback sneak it.
Yeah. I mean, Dak's a linebacker out there. You know what I mean? It's flat. I mean, you know, I think you got to go for it. No matter how you go for it, you got to go for it. The next best option is kick a field goal. I mean, I know that's a 59-yard field goal and that's a long thing, but that is still better than punting. I mean, again,
I think he overthought it. He just got into it. We just started questioning himself. And, you know, you look back in Jason Garrett's career, and what do they say? That's the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. And if the Cowboys continue to lose against Jacksonville, you're looking at 2-4. You go to Washington, and then the bye week's what, the following week?
Right.
And you know what? Some heads could be on a plate that week, RJ.
It's very difficult to understand. You know, and he came out on Monday morning and he said, oh, guys, well, you know, when he spoke with 105.3 The Fan and even in the postgame, he said, well, the plan was we were going to punt it, and then we were going to stop them, and then we were going to kick the game winner. We know that was the plan, dude. You know, I mean, nobody thinks that there was a different plan.
We understand that.
It's that you chose that as the plan is the huge problem here. I find it.
In his defense, if he had gone for it, mm-hmm. and they hadn't converted, and they would have taken the ball down and kicked a field goal, I think people would have said, okay, well, it's the defense's fault. It's not a coaching error.
I think that's fair.
Then you can put it on your defense and like, okay, well, our defense is balling the whole game. We missed it. We had to try to go for because our offense is struggling. We couldn't, you know, it's a long game. Guys are tired. So I got to roll the dice and try.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you don't put it on the defense, although I agree with you, I think that becomes the story. What's the old saying? I'd rather die on my knee or die standing up than live on my knees or whatever it is. I mean, right. You know, you've got to swing. You know, if it's 3-2 and you get one, you know, that's on the edge of the strike zone, you've got to swing at that. You cannot go down staring, which is what.
But you know what? Has Jason Garrett ever been that type of coach?
You know, I will say there have been at times, because that's the Jason Garrett-ism of all this. He has times where he looks like a, I don't want to say an elite head coach. That wouldn't be true. But there are times where he looks like a very good coach. There have been times where he goes for an occasional spicy fourth down that he's gotten. You know, and that typically happens in seasons where the Cowboys have success. Obviously, 2016 is the latest example of that. But yeah, I mean, last night was a complete fold, and I think that's generally who he's been more often than not. I find it fascinating, almost from a football perspective, from a psychological perspective, because Garrett has to know that the seat is warm, right? He has to know that. He has to know that this is a big moment, it's a big game from a public standpoint. And for him to just cave in that moment. I mean, I feel like you almost have to go for it, forget the football of it all, from a survival of the fittest standpoint. You know, your job is on the line, your life, your livelihood. It's insane that he punted. It really is.
I think that he was looking at, and not maybe conservative, but just trying to, you know, play out the percentages. And had DeAndre Hopkins not in that phenomenal triple spin,
it looked like a ballerina.
That was ridiculous. I mean, you know, it was bad tackling, but, you know, that was a tremendous play on his part. Had he not converted that, then maybe we're sitting there talking about, well, maybe it may have ended in a tie. Mm-hmm. Because I would say, you know, the defense was they were on last night. But I think in a game like that, when you only got really one chance, because you're looking at winning the football game right there.
Right.
I mean, you get a first down and you hopefully, you know, get an opportunity to move it 10 yards or then instead of a 59, maybe move it up to 54.
Right.
You know, that's like, you know, that's 5 yards. But it all came down to one play, and that was the ridiculous play by Hopkins. I mean, that was just, mean, that was madness. I mean, that looked exactly like a Madden move.
You know, DeAndre was amazing, but it was, I feel like that's what happens. I feel like, you know, people talk so much about momentum and intangibles, and you could feel it. I mean, you could feel the power shift. I mean, things were going the Cowboys' way. They came up with, as you mentioned at the top, the Xavier Woods interception off the Jalen Smith DeMarcus Lawrence hit to end regulation. That was big. That was just a huge boost of wind in their sails. They won the coin toss. They got the ball. I mean, everything's going their way. And it's, I mean, you could just see the balloon deflate when they punted. And it all goes to DeAndre. And yeah, he explodes. That's sports.
When they just were teeing off on Dak, I mean, they got, well, they lose like 20 yards. I'm trying to think what it happened in the, you know, the first possession. I mean, they start backing up more, and I was just, I mean, I was just amazed at just some of the things that happened. And at that point, I mean, they were just, it was a slugfest of defenses going back and forth. And I mean, at that point, you know, going back to the fourth and one, is all about field position. It's like, we may not ever get to this point in more game. I mean, at this point, we got to, you know, I got to weigh what, you know, our options and what, you know, what we at this point, what will we be able to convert? And again, it was just how it ended was just it was just deflating.
I think it should be noted, the Cowboys get the ball in overtime at their own 25-yard line. They run it to Zeke. They lose a yard. They throw it to Zeke. They pick up 10 yards. They run it to Zeke. He picks up 4 yards. I mean, right away, I mean, to your point, I mean, he's exhausted. I mean, Zeke is
he was taking himself out of the game.
I mean, he, you know, you mentioned
he looked like his legs. He didn't have any legs, and he just didn't have – he wasn't even, like, feeding me. He did doing – I mean, there was a lot of body language. I was watching the game. I was making a comment. He looks like he's a tired player. He's not the guy that we saw last week.
You mentioned how you guys back in the 90s had Hall of Famers at the most important positions on offense, and how, you know, your team thrived off of that. This Cowboys team is not built that way. I mean, this Cowboys team, it's almost like they're trying to be the 85 Bears. You know, they're trying to have this really good defense and this all-world running back that's gonna be enough. But it's not 1985 anymore. You know, it's 2018. You've got to be able to throw the ball. You've got to be able to do other things. I thought the call on third and one was almost as offensive as the decision to punt. I mean, it's third and one. I mean, you're going for the kill, and you just up the middle. I mean, how it's so predictable. It's so predictable and stale. I mean, it would be like if I got a roast and just threw it in the crock pot with water and then served it to you.
No seasoning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's disgusting.
Well, and I think that you know, the defense, they sense that. They sense that they're getting very basic, and like, guess what? They're going to line up in this formation. And they're going to run it to Zeke, and you know, their defensive line was so active, but I thought third and one, they got to be able to convert this.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to give them a 70-80% chance of trying of being able to convert that, and it's the way they got stuffed. Now maybe if you're the offensive coach, you're sitting there watching. It's like a boxer just getting his head knocked off. Like I don't know if he could survive the bell. So. Maybe he was thinking that fourth and one, that look, you know, we need to get to the corner. And the corner was, let's punt it and get our defense out on the field. Hopefully they can stop them.
But that would be, I think, just a further indictment on how they've built this team. You know, because they've built this team to center and revolve completely around Zeke. And so, you know, and I find that really funny because they learned such a painful lesson 3 years ago in that they had built their team to run and center completely around Tony Romo. And when he got hurt, they saw – wow, it's kind of a terrible idea to build our offense around one guy, because without that guy, we do nothing. We're crap. And literally, the very next draft, they did the same thing with Zeke. They said, okay, you know, we learned our lesson with Romo. Now we're gonna build our whole team around Zeke. Everything's gonna be centered in revolving around him. And if, to your point, if he's gassed, if he's tired, if he's exhausted, I mean, if he's whatever, if he's not the feed me guy, you're nothing. I mean,
well, you know what, Tony? Yeah, you're right. But you know, Tony Romo made other people better, mm-hmm. because he didn't have a running game. And we mentioned this before. Could you imagine, you know, when Tony Romo in his prime having a running game like Zeke?
Right.
Because you know, the thing about that is that is that they can run the football, but guess what? Or they can't, you know, and Romo could really get the running game going because he was so, you know, he's a playmaker. I mean, he would spread the ball out, he hit the ball out. So, but, you know, this team right now is so one-dimensional, and Dak cannot fill that role that someone like Tony Romo did. He's just not that type of player.
How would you categorize the decision to punt? I mean, I know we've already talked about it, but how would you, in context to the situation, in context to who the 2018 Cowboys are, in context to who Jason Garrett is, in context to his future, to Scott Linehan? I mean, there's a lot more to this chicken wing than to just the crust. You know what I mean? But by the way, I think we need to invent something. I've been meaning to say this for a long time on the 750. We need to invent ranch containers that are the width of wings. Because it's the worst thing in the world when you get a wing and you try
containers and you can't fit the whole wing in that.
And so like
that's a great point.
After the first bite, if you're eating the drumstick, that bite's awesome. You know what I mean? But then afterwards, you can't get the ranch everywhere else and you're screwed. So
I do is I just pour it on my plate. Because I figured that out. And I'm such a slob when it comes to eating. But that's what I do. I'm like, just give me all the containers and I'll just put it on my plate.
Right. Respect. Well, we'll work on the wider container. It's patent pending. But either way, when you look at this whole situation, because this is deeper. I mean, in this is Jason Garrett, you know, the coach that Jerry Jones chose, that he hired before he hired a head coach. This is often, I mean, there's a lot of layers to this onion. I mean, is this that straw that we mentioned that could break the camel's back? Or do you think that it's overblown in that context? Because I think it's powerful that after the game, immediately after the game, Jerry Jones came out and challenged that decision. He said, we've got to take risks. I would have gone for it, et cetera. I mean, he tried to say, I'm not second guessing, but as he was literally second guessing. I think it's a very powerful thing that Jerry Jones is saying that. So what are your thoughts here as somebody who's, you know, obviously been in there and knows both these guys well?
Well, just looking from the outside in, I think after five games, if you lose to Jacksonville and you lose going on the road to Washington, I think that you have to make a decision. It starts with the head coach because there's got to be some type of message sent. And, you know, after for 8 or 9 years since Jason Garrett has been the coach, I mean, he's had some great, you know, some years where he's won games and he's had moments like, yes, last night. And you got to weigh that. And I think sometimes when you have a different voice, guys have a tendency to change, have a tendency to do things differently. And, you know, everyone would like to have Andy Reid's offense,
right?
And the way he's play calling, and you know, you watch that, and you're like, God, that's just ridiculous. I mean, they have just everything in place, but I mean, you can create an opportunity for your players and give them an opportunity to change it up. Now, what is this? Is this an indictment on his losing his job? I think so. And you get to a point where you got a chance to win the game, or at least try to play for the win, because it's desperate measures. I mean, last night was a must win. And we saw what happened.
You know, once I was driving from Dallas to Austin on I-35, a drive I know you know well, and I was getting close to Temple, and I looked in my car, and all of a sudden I had like 23 miles to empty on my gas. It just kind of snuck up on me, and I was like, well, this sucks. You know, this is terrible. And I looked up, and it said Buc-ee's 21 miles away, and I was thinking – wow, we're going to cut this thing close. And it was, you know, there was a lot of construction. So I literally could not get off the highway. And I got so scared. I turned off the radio and the air condition because in my mind that was going to help conserve gas because I was that nervous. And I pulled in with 4 miles to empty on my car. And I think that that's where Jason Garrett is. I think he's that low. I think he's flirting with empty right now. I think he just lost a significant chunk of whatever remained. And I think that was proven by the fact that, you know, because Jerry, to his credit, has backed Jason Garrett. A lot of people say he doesn't deserve credit for that. I think he does. I think Jerry deserves a lot of credit for standing by his guy, but it's starting to look like Jerry is either not having had enough quite yet, but he's enough. Jerry's tank is emptying too, and he might only have 4 miles left.
I just don't know where all the all the decision making during the offseason to make these personnel decisions. And when it comes to the offensive side with wide receivers and things that you need to have evolve, I don't know if it's a combination of Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett, their philosophy on offense. But the scapegoat is usually the head coach. Or, you know, an offense where you're just not having much success. And if you fire Scott Linehan or get the play call onto, you know, let's say Jason Garrett ends up assuming the play calling duties, are you going to be much better when you look at philosophy? Because it's the same. You have the same players. And again, it just goes back to what I mentioned earlier. Is this team going to get better, that much better on offense with what personnel they have aboard right now? Yeah. I don't think so, because they're not this creativity. Now, you know, they have a great defense, but again, you cannot average, I don't know, what, 13, 14 points in the National Football League every week and expect to win a game, especially the schedule that they have ahead of them. I don't think so.
It's you're right. I mean, no matter who the chef is here, the ingredients are the same. The ingredients are the same, and you know, these aren't lobster tacos that we're talking about. I mean, these are you know, we're talking about ramen. You know, I think ramen and salt and maybe some fajita seasoning. That's about as creative as we're able to get.
Well, we all can screw a good recipe up if we don't put the proper we read with, you know, with the directions.
Right.
We can get the ingredients, but you know, we can screw it up. But I tell you what, I'd rather have that Maine lobster, because I got a lot to work with. It's better than getting, you know, imitation, okay? So as long as I have the authenticity of that, hey, I'm good with that. Just give me the real thing.
So this was a grim episode of the 750, but I mean, that's kind of where we're at with the Cowboys. They're 2-3. It feels like they're 0-5. You know, we'll be back later this week, obviously, but any predictions of any kind? Do we think that this is the week that Jason Garrett deploys his ninth life, in that he takes over play calling? Do we think that this is that week? I mean, or do we believe that they're just going to hunker down and try to just keep on plugging away at normal? Or do you see, and again, I'm not saying predict the biggest change in franchise history. Do you think that we're at a point where we're going to see a change before we talk next on the 750?
Well, if I was him, I would like still Andy Reid's playbook, like a lot of pizza.
Like, you know, that play that they,
yeah, well, yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't know. To me, that's what you have to do. You have to really just kind of create something, a spark. And it's not really, that's a tall order, especially when you got the Jacksonville Jaguars coming here, and they're going to be pissed off because of what happened against Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City is a tremendous offensive unit, but you know, you have Dallas right now is averaging, 13, 14 points per game. All they do is run the football. They don't have any wide receivers, and they probably, you know, Jacksonville's got probably they got the top rated defense in the National Football League. That was the matchup of yesterday, number one defense versus the number one offense.
Right.
So you got a team in here that's coming in here that's mad, and they're playing the Cowboys, and you got Jalen Ramsey is going to be popping off. Yeah, I just can't wait this week to hear what he has to say about this offense, because you know he's going to break. He's going to break social media. He's going to break Twitter. There's no telling what he's going to say about this team.
Right. I mean, he talked, to your point, about an awesome offense. You know, I mean, he picked on an awesome offense.
Exactly. And Tyreek Hill, when he starts talking about Tyreek Hill, that he's a great kick returner. Right. Hey, what's that say about the Dallas Cowboys offense?
Exactly. I do think there is something to playing the Jaguars, because that defense, they're sharks, and they smell blood in the water. They're smart enough, and they're bold enough, where another NFL defense, you know, might just keep it to themselves, maybe keep it in their locker room, their building. The Jaguars are bold enough to hang some onion, to say, yeah, we're going to go beat their ass. I mean, you know, whatever. That's who they are, and they might just
do it. And it's the Cowboys. And that's the thing that I always notice, and people hate to hear this all the time, but people get ready to play the Cowboys because, you know, they're kind of bitter. It's like someone having success. We all know that you get a little envy, a little jealous of someone having success. And it's kind of like, you know, a team coming in here. They want to show their best performance and show what they can do on the big stage.
Right. And Jalen Ramsey is a little bitter about not being taken by the Cowboys. So I guess it will be an interesting week.
Well, maybe he'll be flipping the bird to the Cowboys sideline.
Maybe. You and I will be back on Thursday to get ready for that game. Between now and then, we'll have a lot of content for you available at blogontheboys.com. Make sure you follow Tony on Twitter at TC Casillas. I'm at RJ Ochoa. Tony, hopefully we get something good. Hopefully maybe the world will invent the ranch dressing containers we're talking about. I mean, something positive.
Well, it's a Monday, and I'm feeling a little underwater with allergies, and I just didn't want to come in with all this negativity, but that's what you get on the 750. You get real.
Yeah.
You get opinions, and there's not really any other way to put it today. It's just one of those Mondays.
It's it's a roast with just water. But you know what? By Thursday, we're going to find some Cholula. We're going to find something. We're going to spice.
We'll
this
mix it up.
Boy. Exactly.
Be a culinary, and we'll make a better meal.
Exactly.
I promise.
This was a great episode. Again, rough times, but we'll get through it together. Tony and I will be back on Thursday. Thanks for listening. This was the 750.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.